بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Najm and we have reached verse 19. قال الله تعالى فرأيتم اللات والعزة. Have you then considered Al-Lat and Al-Uzza, two idols of the pagan Arabs? This exclamation is for belittling them. Tell me, after you have heard about the greatest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you have heard, tell me then about these idols of yours. What is their rank? What about their might? So, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. These three famous ones to the Arabs, worshipping them besides Allah and submitting to them as they submit to Allah and taking means of nearness to them as they do to Allah, as they do with Allah Azza wa Jal. Yet they believe that it, at times of difficulty, these idols are of no benefit. So when they take to the sea, and if they are faced with hardships, they resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مخلصين له الدين, sincere in their deen, to Allah, and they know that no one will deliver them from these hardships except the Lord of all that exists, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But shaitan is the one who beautified and made it fair seeming to them the worship of these idols, and they claim that they draw them nearer to Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them in Surah Az-Zumar 39 verse 3. قال الله تعالى about them, ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفا. We worship them only that they may bring us near to Allah. But in reality, it distanced them from Allah. So, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى. Have you been considered Al-Lat and Al-Uzza? And Manat, the other idol of the pagan Arabs, and the other third? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, following this in denunciation of the mushriks, أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى. 21. Is it for you the males and for him the females? So you make for yourselves the males and to Allah the females. When they said that the angels are the daughters of Allah, and they're saying that the angels are the daughters of Allah, and they didn't witness their creation. They didn't witness the creation of the angels, but they said that the angels are the daughters of Allah, and they took for themselves the males. So they didn't witness that, they didn't see that, as Allah stated in Surah Az-Zukhruf 43:19, وَجَعَلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَاثًا أَشَهِدُوا خَلْقَهُمْ. And they make the angels, who themselves are slaves to the most beneficent Allah, they make them females. Did they witness their creation? No. The answer is no, they didn't. Yes, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write down their testimony or this statement of theirs, and they will be asked about it. We seek refuge in Allah from this. Yet they, the mushriks, as Allah spoke about them in Surah An-Nahl 16:58, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And when the news of the birth of a female child is brought to any one of them, his face becomes dark and he is filled with inward grief. Next verse, يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به. 1659. He hides himself from the people because of the evil of that whereof he has been informed. Shall he keep her with dishonor or bury her in the earth? Certainly evil is their decision. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this classification of theirs, تِلْكَ إِذَنْ, in next verse 22, تِلْكَ إِذَنْ قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَى. Then this indeed is a division most unfair, to have the daughters for Allah and the males for them. This is away from the truth. And we know, if we say that it is permissible for Allah to have children, then by all means He would have the males, because they excel over the females without doubt. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most high of creation, so therefore He must be the highest, and to Him will have the highest. So this is, as Allah described it, therefore, a division most unfair. Also, there is another division below injustice than this one, is to have the daughters for Allah and to them daughters, and males for Allah and female and males for them. But they didn't even do that, so they did this unjust and unfair division. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said تِلْكَ إِذَنْ قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَى, that indeed this is a division most unfair. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reasserted the reality of these idols that they worship, and He said in the next verse, إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. They are but names which you have named, you and your forefathers, and your fathers, for which Allah has sent down no authority. No authority. So, therefore, it has no reality. Just names. And the name does not denote what it entails. Like if you give the iron the name wood, it wouldn't be wood. And if you do the opposite, vice versa, if you say wood is iron, it wouldn't be iron. And if you call the mule donkey, it wouldn't be donkey. And so these idols, which they called as gods, they are not gods. Just names. They are not aliha gods. Yes? Not just names. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in here, meaning these names, alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullahi barakatuh. Just names that you have named, you and your fathers. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not bring authority or proof for them. And Allah called here the authority as a dalil, as evidence. Because the one who has the dalil, the evidence, has the authority over his opponent. And the one who does not have the dalil does not have the authority. That's why the authority, the authoritative one, would always bring you the proof, meaning the dalil. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِّ, they follow but a guess. Dhan, delusion. not real when they say that these are gods, and they base this upon their guess. So this dhan here is delusion. وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنْفُسِ, and that which they themselves desire. So they follow but a guess, and that which they themselves desire, what themselves incline to from falsehood. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهُمُ الْهُدَى, whereas there has surely come to them guidance from their Lord. So this is affirmed, it's a statement affirmed, affirming that Allah indeed brought them guidance from Him. Yani مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, from their Lord. Look at this, what Allah said. Guidance from their Lord. He didn't say from Allah. This is an indication that the Sharia is not to be taken except from Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord, and the Lord is the creator, the one who runs the affairs. So they follow guess, while knowledge, al-ilm, جَاءَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, came from Allah. As Allah said, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى, whereas there has surely come to them the guidance of their Lord. Meaning the guidance on the tongue of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the messengers before, ending with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then in the next verse, أَمْ لِلْإِنسَانِ مَا تَمَنَّى, أَمْ لِلْإِنسَانِ مَا تَمَنَّى, or shall man have what he wishes? This exclamation is an exclamation of denial and negation, meaning man shall not have what he wishes. Many times, so often, man hopes for something but it does not occur. Why? Because there is one who runs the affairs, and he is Allah Azza wa Jal. So man shall not have what he wishes. And in this there is indication to refute the action of these of the mushriks who worship the idols and who say that it brings them clear nearer to Allah. And in reality this is not true. So this is also a refutation of their saying, to Allah belongs the daughters and to them the sons, and also they don't have that. Although they may wish that, and it becomes cause to their imaginations, but it does not come to exist. And shall man have that wishes? No. Many times man wishes for things but they don't come to existence, because the matter is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah said in the next verse, فَلِلَّهِ الْآخِرَةُ وَالْأُولَى, but to Allah belongs the last, the hereafter, and the first, this world. And he began with the Akhirah, as you notice in this verse, but to Allah belongs the last, he began with the last, the hereafter, because the kingdom of Allah in the hereafter becomes more manifested than in this life, his kingdom. Because in this life there are kings, leaders, etc., whereby the common people see that the leaders and the kings, and they have some way of running the affairs. But in the hereafter there will be no one. In the hereafter there will be no one. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began here, but to Allah belongs the last, hereafter. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Ghafir 40:16 about this, يوم هم بارزون لا يخفى على الله منهم شيء لمن الملك اليوم لله الواحد القهار. The day when they will fall, they will all come out. Nothing of them will be hidden from Allah. Who is the kingdom? Whose is the kingdom this day? Allah Himself will reply to his question. It is Allah is the one, the irresistible. This day shall every soul be compensed for what he had earned, for what he earned. No injustice shall be done to to anybody. Truly Allah is swift in reckoning, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the next verse 26, وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. And there are many angels in the heavens whose intercession will avail nothing except after Allah has given leave for whom He wills and pleases. Many therefore are the angels in the heavens, but their shafa'ah, their intercession will avail nothing. And the angels are honorable creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if these angels, the honorable ones, who are in the heavens, except for those whom Allah had permitted to descend to the earth, if their intercession is of no benefit, so would the intercession of Al-Lat and Al-Uzza and Manat, these idols of the mushriks, benefit them? The answer is no. It is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling these people, these idols that you worship and you take as means of nearness to intercede with Allah, just compare how many are the honorable angels and in the heavens, and their intercession avails not except with three conditions: that Allah approves for whomever he approves from the angels to intercede, and so they will. The second is that He is pleased with the one on whose behalf the intercession is made. The third, He is pleased with the intercessor. Pleased with the intercessor. And this we mentioned last night. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not permit the intercessor except if He is pleased with him. And also He must be pleased, He is pleased with the one upon whom or for whom the intercession is made. Otherwise the intercession will not benefit him. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Anbiya 21 verse 28, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ ارْتَضَى وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ. Now, He knows what is before them and what is behind them, and they cannot intercede except for Him with whom He is pleased, and they stand in awe for fear of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the conditions, therefore, for the intercession. Allah approves the intercessor, and Allah is pleased with the one interceding. Allah is pleased with the one for whom the intercession is made. As to the kafirs, the intercession of the intercessors avail them not. So therefore, in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. In verse 26 of this surah, there are many angels in the heavens whose intercession will avail nothing except after Allah has given leave for him or for whom He wills and pleases. In this, therefore, there is a despairing the mushriks regarding the intercession of their gods, that it will be futile. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we have heard, to make this a benefit for those who have listened and who may listen to in the future. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima kathira.